Welcome to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting for Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Indeed.
Councilmember Harmon?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge is absent tonight. And Mayor Hill?
Here. Please join us in a moment of reflection. Shannon?
Please join me in saluting the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Shannon, if you'd like to come up and tell us some of the things the Rotary Club's been doing in the area.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to quickly mention...
Please use the microphone.
I wanted to quickly mention, you may have seen our commercials on TV. We're holding a raffle right now. We're raffling off a Harley-Davidson. The drawing is actually in a week and a half on the 22nd. And right now, we're also, the money is going to local community events. We are filling, we just bought 140 backpacks for the Boys and Girls Club, and we're helping fill it with school supplies, and we'll be doing that on Thursday with the children. We also give scholarships to high school kids. So all the money we raise from the raffle will stay in the community to help a lot of children, charities, and things like that. So I have some flyers back on the table if anyone's interested.
Can you just publicly say where they can get the tickets and how much the tickets are?
The tickets are only $20 or $6 for $100. And the website is RotaryHarleyRaffle.com. So that has all the information about the event, how to get tickets, and we also have a phone number on the flyers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shannon. We really appreciate it. Thank you to all of our friends at the Rotary Club. Okay, this evening we have no closed session announcements. Can we move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. We have no special presentations this evening. Brings us to community comments and suggestions. If anyone would like to address the council this evening on items that are not on the agenda tonight, you're welcome to do so at this time. We would respectfully request that you limit your comments to 3 minutes so that everyone gets an opportunity to speak. And again, for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Mr. Wysong.
Good evening. I'm John A. Wysong, Grover Beach, across the tracks there. Last time I said I was been here 58 years, in my 80s, and I have cattle tank farm, and heifers having calves. So I come back 101, and I'm always passing on the right. And so the mayor Pismo was on the other night, the news, and she was talking about it's everybody works there. And I called Caltrans and told me that I asked for signs, slow traffic, move to the right. I've gone that way 58 years to Safeway, to all kinds of functions. I use that road 6 days a week. So I told her, she called me at 6:30, and I told her about the situation. Have Caltrans put some signs out there, small, slow traffic, move to the right. She said that it was people working. I said, no, it's tourists looking at the waves out there. I pass, and I turn around, and I go off the off-ramp and go on the side roads, go up by their office. Number two is 3 or 4 years ago when your city manager was here. I told him about hauling dirt on Cortland and Graham. I said that you could use that for underground parking and things filling up with cars now. But he told me at that time it was too expensive. I said I've gone across country 2009, 12, and 13, and there's all those towns out there with a Walmart, nothing else, no grocery store, no drug stores. And yet, they're putting in underground parking in. Number three is Oak Park and Brighton. And I talked to Mr. Horn about it. He said, my voicemail. But, you know, when you get this age, anything happens. But the other night at the city council in Grover, the city attorney had sent me a package. and told me the warrant didn't approve for crosswalks, signs, or anything. Well, that was 2008 that was. But in March, the second Saturday, the postman come by. I followed him, and I got to Oak Park and couldn't get across. 3 o'clock, the unmarked highway patrol one sat there. I said, "Why don't you go get those cars?" He said, "I'm not here for that. I'm here to observe." As we talked, he said that that was the most dangerous crossing in Central California. I said, "I've been talking about that for 15 years. I can't." So tonight, I had a picture of Four Corners, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. I've been through there twice. My grandson sent me a picture of it, where now then they have, instead of a post, they have little shops there. Why can't we put a crosswalk in there? Because, you know, all those people from Grover come to shop over here. All we have is Vaughn's and Chevron. We have nothing else for them. They have to walk over here. 14 people since the first year that I have helped by taking my truck, parking in the center, putting my turn lights on to help them across. Two ladies were crying. One had a baby buggy out there. Kids coming across, scared to death. Oh, boy, they're tough. But when it comes to that crosswalk, they're not tough. I mean, they're literally scared to death. So you have that crosswalk down there south of Houston. I go there 6 days a week, seven out to the, because we have Phillips 66 Ranch out there for cattle.
We appreciate your comment. Thank you very much, and we'll look into that crosswalk.
Good evening, Mayor.
Good evening.
Good evening, Councilman. All powerful God, please guide our council as they consider the Senate Constitutional Amendment 5, consideration of resolutions urging the state to provide funding for state and local transportation infrastructure. And in the words of Pope Francis, a prayer for our earth, all powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten on this earth, so precious in your eyes, bringing healing to their lives, that we may protect the world and not prey upon it, that we may sow beauty and not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature. As we journey towards your infinite light, we thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our, for our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time? Items not on the agenda this evening. Patty
Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm here to again ask. I know that the council is working on an ordinance for the dog park because we've had dogs down there who have gone after other animals, gone after children, and are a problem down at the dog park. I unfortunately had one of my dogs attacked also the other day down at the dog park, and I'm working very hard to keep her from becoming a reactive animal now. And it's kind of a shame that this dog park has been here for 5 years, and we are just now getting to the point of putting anything in place to make it safe for children, adults, and dogs alike. I would ask this council that as you go through making ordinances or whatever, think with foresight and not with hindsight. It seems that we do a lot of looking back and saying, oh, we should have done something. We're lucky that somebody hasn't been seriously hurt at the dog park so far, and I hope that we get this in place so nobody is. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council? Shirley.
Hello to Mayor and Council. Shirley Gibson from Halcyon, and I'm here representing Bennett Loomis Archives. First thing I wanted to mention is that there's a Bridge Street Bridge stakeholder meeting on Wednesday, August 26th, 8:30 in the morning, and I believe it's in this room. And I think any a stakeholder is anybody that loves the bridge. So I hope that people come and support the safety upgrades of the bridge while preserving its historical significance. What I really wanted to talk about tonight was volcanic tuff. In early San Luis County, many of us set up wall all along the El Camino Real. So basically, volcanic tuff is compacted volcanic ash. And you can see the white tuff along the cliffs of Pismo and Shell Beach. And it's not the white bird stuff. And it crumbles easily in your hand. The yellow tuff, or Los Barros sandstone, as it was called at that time, is stronger than the white tuff because it contains the mineral mordenite. The rock at that point was judged to withstand 1,500 pounds per square inch. The yellow rock was easily cut and dressed into blocks. In 1903, 46 tons was sent from Oceana to Watsonville to build a church. Locally, the Briscoe building down the street, the Rice House on Myrtle Street, were all made of yellow rock, as well as many local fireplaces. But what I really wanted to point out was honor the Five Cities Men's Club for rebuilding the wall around Crown Hill. And I wanted to, Arroyo is featured in you know, Westways Magazine, San Francisco Chronicle, the LA Times, many publications now, and it's featured as a quaint, unique walking town. And I think the wall adds to that history immensely in the preservation, and it really showcases Crown Hill. And so I wanted to mention some of the people that worked on that I know of, and I'm sure I'm leaving out people, but this is just information I've gathered. So I know Kelvin Gould and Jay Johnson were kind of the leaders. I want to mention Ron Ritter, Ben Doty, Randy Fizer. I went to school with him, Go Eagles. Tim Storton, Marty London, William Reinhardt, among others. And I read that they saved the city and all of us to about $280,000. So I appreciate and honor their gift of funding, their labor, and their vision for Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Thank you. I might have to look into that later.
Okay. Thank you for that. Brings us to item 8, which is the consent agenda. And can I ask the city clerk to please introduce the consent items?
Yes. Item 8 is the consent agenda. This is a group of routine items that are considered by the council as a group. The recommendations for each item are noted on the agenda. Any member of the public who wishes to comment on any consent agenda item may do so at this time. Any council member may request that any item be pulled from the consent agenda to permit discussion or change the recommended course of action. The council may approve the remainder of the consent agenda on one motion.
Thank you. Would anyone like to comment on the consent item agenda this evening? That's items 8A, 8B, and 8C. Is there any comment on those items? Okay, hearing none. Do we have any questions? Would anyone like to pull one of the items?
No, thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'd move for approval for 8A through 8C.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve consent items 8A, 8B, and 8C. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. We have no public hearings this evening and no old business. New business items. May I have the clerk introduce item 11A, please?
Item 11A is consideration of Senate Constitutional Amendment 5.
Good evening, Mayor Hill and City Council. This item is consideration of Senate Constitutional Amendment 5. At the July 28th council meeting, Andrea Seastrand, Vice President of the Central Coast Taxpayers Association, addressed the council on this item. That concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
I have one. I'm just curious if the League of California Cities would be a good avenue as well to ask them to support this, because it seems like as a lobbying group, they might have more pull than we would as an individual city. So I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Certainly the council could make a request to the League. Okay, and Heather has just commented that she has some information on that, but certainly you could make a request to the League to take a position on that.
I would just add that out of curiosity, I went to the League's website to see if they were watching this or taking a position on it, and they are not. There was nothing on there to explain why, but they aren't following it and they aren't taking a position on it, and I would suspect that's because they're not viewing it as a local issue, you know, specifically directed or affecting municipalities. Because they generally do take positions on things that they think will have a direct impact on municipalities.
Thank you for that.
Any other questions of staff?
No, not for me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, I noticed Andrea is here in the audience. Would you like to speak to the item?
Well, that's great news that the League didn't take a position, because if you've observed them over the years since 13 was passed, not only the League of Cities, but the County Association of the different counties here at CSAC has always supported doing in Prop 13, as I say. So I'm glad they haven't. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. We only have one more month for the state legislature to meet, convene, and move things very quickly, and they do move things quickly. Will this be, will they get the legislature to adopt this and send it to the governor for signature? I don't know, but the Defend Prop 13 coalition that came together throughout the state were on their toes to be sure that this legislature didn't do anything to attack Prop 13. You know, you're always suspicious. You have to be. There's never enough money in Sacramento. And I just would like to say that all the cities are being approached on this. Pismo Beach did support a resolution that you've been requested to support. The Board of Supervisors this morning support. Thank you.
So is there any other public comment on this item? Please.
Yeah, my name is Van Langston, and thank you for listening to me, council members. You know, this is really another attack on Proposition 13. It was done in a dirty deal in the back room. And I really can't see why we have to approve this. This phase one is going to basically hurt the small business person. You know, it's going to put a burden on them. You know, the last time we changed Proposition 13, it cost us $27 billion on bonds, school bonds, that didn't even get a two-thirds vote. You know, and this is the same thing. This is just another ploy to get more and more money out of the taxpayer, and I'll be darned if I know where's it going. It isn't fixing, you know, Oak Park. It isn't, you know, Where do we get that money, and what is it going to? Are we getting it? So anyway, my concern is, I really don't want to pay more property tax. I just moved here last year. It cost me about 800% in property taxes to move here. That's a lot of money. With my income, I'm a fixed income, so I don't get any increase like that. So I would suggest that I don't see why we should support this particular bill when we really probably don't have a say in it anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council?
Again, thank you for letting me comment. I think it's a very slippery slope. It always starts out small and then goes big. If we permit them to do this to small business, large business, to take away the tax advantage, then it's just going to be residential will be coming next. And so hold on to your hats. If we let them do this, it'll just continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the on this particular item? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the council. Council comments? Start with Tim.
I would just say this, that I hope that this council in the future, whenever we take votes, will allow time for discussion after a vote is taken and item that comes forward does. So I'm willing to support this, but I think we need to have a larger discussion about we could be writing letters for and against all different types of items, and I don't know where that begins and where that ends for a council. So I think that's a discussion we're going to have at some point in time, because I do think, as legal counsel said, we should stick to municipal issues for the most part, because that's what we're here to do. But in this particular instance, I have no problem with it, and I think the average person in Roy Grande doesn't want Prop 13 gutted in any way, shape, or form. So I'm more than happy to support it, but I think we need to have a discussion going forward about just how far this body can go, and that's why I asked the question regarding the League of Cities. It's just a question of boundaries, I guess. So, but with that, I'm more than willing to support it.
Okay. Councilmember Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I definitely consider the Senate Constitutional Amendment, SCA 5. I really think it's an attempt to undermine and dismantle Prop 13, and therefore I have to state my opposition to it. I would certainly be in support of a resolution formally opposing it. It really has to do with Prop 13 limiting property taxes in California to 1% of the acquisition price of property, with annual tax increases of up to 2% depending on inflation. It is noted that Prop 13 treats commercial and residential property the same. SCA 5 is geared to alter the piece of Prop 13 that covers commercial property. The proposal, also known as the split roll property tax increase, would phase in full assessment of most commercial property. SCA 5 would require yearly assessments to full market value, compared to commercial property being reassessed when change of ownership occurs, as currently is required under Prop 13. I'm concerned what this proposal will do to our small businesses. Commercial property taxes increase will be transferred to the renter, raising their costs to consumers, and could impact one's ability to start their business. I'm concerned about those whose livelihood is dependent on the sale of commercial properties, and most important, their ability to upgrade our aging commercial properties located throughout our city. This is especially concerning given our city's priorities for economic development and our focus on the East Grand redevelopment plan. I'm not the only one opposing SCA 5. It's important to also state that the Cal Chamber of Commerce, California Business Roundtable, the California Taxpayers Association, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, and our own Central Coast Taxpayers Association are just to name a few. So with that, I would really support a council resolution opposing SCA 5. Thank you.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Just ask a quick question of staff, and just to clarify for myself, because I was a little confused. I just want to be sure that my understanding is that ultimately this is an initiative, that this would be voted on by the people, or is this something that could be passed directly through the state?
It would be a constitutional amendment, which would require a vote, is my understanding, a vote of the people.
So with that, I'll just echo Councilman Brown's concern here, is that this is probably not a controversial issue, that in fact there are, maybe our constituents are 50-50 on, but in fact we're speaking for them when in fact they're going to get the opportunity to speak for themselves if this ever comes.
For my part of it, I agree with both Councilmember Brown and Councilmember Guthrie and Councilmember Harmon in that I am concerned with bringing to council things that are not within the direct purview of the council, where our residents will have an opportunity to express their direct opinion on it, and where they would not, then I would think it would be appropriate for perhaps for the elected council to weigh in on those items. But having said that, I am very concerned, as Councilmember Harmon mentioned, with trying to do the improvement plan on East Grand Avenue to support our businesses there, and increases in taxes that would affect the businesses there. Development makes business costs go up. Taxes increases makes business costs go up. All of those impediments to business are detrimental to the interest of the city and the business community and the vitality of the entire city. So,
Mr. Mayor, I just want to make sure I didn't mislead in any way in my comment. This Senate SCA 5 is to propose a constitutional amendment that would go to the vote of the people. Right. If it doesn't pass, then nothing goes to the vote of the people. So there isn't, the people are not going to get to chime in on this unless this passes and it gets on the ballot. So I just wanted to clarify that in case that wasn't clear.
Thank you. So we have...
Do you want me to move? I would like to move to direct staff to prepare resolutions opposing Senate Constitutional Amendment 5 and to bring it back to council for adoption at a future meeting.
Second.
And moved and seconded that we request staff to develop a resolution to bring back. Any other comment from?
I just had one comment related to the purview of the council and trying to balance what's appropriate for us to make decisions on as they come up to impact our community. And I know there is one jurisdiction that actually, I think it's a policy, I don't think it's an ordinance, but it is a policy that they have that they maybe prohibit is too strong a word, but they do have a policy with certain wording that, that kind of gives a scope related to the certain items that are really under the purview of their city, and I can pass that information on to the city manager if that's something we want to look into.
Perhaps for consideration, certainly.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Item 11B.
Item 11B is consideration of a resolution urging the state to provide new sustainable funding for state and local transportation infrastructure and consideration of joining the Fix Our Roads Coalition.
And Director English.
Mayor Hill, members of council, Jeff English, Public Works Director. Tonight we have before us through some of their information as well. Tonight we also have with us Dave Mullinex with the League of California Cities, who will make some statements as well at the end of my presentation. This particular item has to do with funding for roads and street maintenance. In fact, it is primarily focused on maintenance of roads. Want to give a little background information on our road funding. Currently, our road funding is approximately 50-50 local funds and state funds. In the past 2014-2015 unaudited budget season, we spent of money available from the state approximately 47%. And then 53% was funds that were generated locally through our local sales tax program. The local sales tax money went primarily toward our payment management program and our road rehabilitation. This is a list of the funds that we spend on roads, actually, which we spent in 2014-15. We spent approximately $745,000 on operating expenses, and that covers all of our routine street maintenance. So those are our staff on the payroll who will go out and maintain our streets, restripe, paint our pavement markings, clean storm drains, and do other street-related maintenance. And then our pavement maintenance program, which is the program where we do road rehabilitation through a contractor generally, was about $740,000 last year. We also had a project under which we spent funds to repair sidewalks and crosswalks. And we spent about $100,000 on sidewalk repair under that program last year. We also had another project in the budget last year, which was sales tax supported, about $187,000 to rehabilitate Larchmont. And that project is complete. And if you've driven it, it's actually a nice project. The funding for those programs and for our street maintenance activities comes from our transportation funds, which in large part go toward transit, and that there is some funds from that transit program that comes back to us in the form of money that can be spent for maintenance. Large chunk of funds from the local sales tax revenue is earmarked for our pavement maintenance program, and again, that generally covers the cost for annual resurfacing and road repair program. So about $1.7 million of road maintenance. The proposal tonight for the Fix Our Roads, from the Fix Our Roads Coalition, which has a variety of recommendations, is proposed to generate about $750,000. This is information that was provided by the League of California Cities. It is estimates. There would be a number of issues that would need to be worked out to provide us with some more specific costs, but this was the estimate provided to them if, in fact, the proposal that's moving forward tonight is, in fact, enacted into law. And it shows the other agencies, and this is a population-based methodology. I want to provide just a little information, some background information about some road statistics and other information. We have approximately 70 miles of centerline miles, so that's actually there's a couple ways to determine mileage of road. Oftentimes you'll see lane miles, which is would be multiplied almost by two because you'd have double lanes on each road. But we have approximately 70 miles of centerline miles. Our average pavement condition is 71. We did a pavement analysis a number of years ago, and we updated that periodically. And that's based on a 0 to 100 scale. That's better than many, not as good as some, as a middle-of-the-road pavement condition. 16% of our current roads are in poor or worse condition, and we update that annually. That's a relatively minor amount compared to some of our local agencies, neighboring agencies. We do have a pavement management plan that was initiated in 2010, and that's this document here. We are currently in year six of a seven-year plan. And that plan essentially divided the city in spring of 2016. Also would like to identify that this particular item tonight is related to one of the council-approved critical action plan items, and that being preservation of our pavement maintenance program. Here is some information that was provided directly by the Fix Our Roads Coalition. Roads cost average of $762 a year per driver per vehicle maintenance. California has a significant amount of poor road conditions. We're one of the higher in the country in poor road conditions. More than 50% of our roads need some kind of rehabilitation project now. 4 out of 5 cities with the worst pavement nation conditions in the nation. 55% of our local bridges need some kind of a rehabilitation or replacement. And I would like to note that we have not set aside any funds for bridge maintenance. We rely entirely on federal funding for our bridge maintenance program. And so that's a significant need in the future, potentially, for the city. Without additional funding, 1/4 of all city streets, local streets and roads will fail by the year 2014. Again, this is information put together through a survey of cities that was put together by the Fix Our Roads Coalition. Some information about tax revenue declining for road rehabilitation. One of the challenges with the way our current road rehabilitation or road maintenance funding is put together is that it's generated through gas tax revenue primarily. And fortunately, on the positive side, our cars are getting much better gas mileage. And in fact, in many cases now, cars aren't using gas at all with the advent of electric vehicles and the increase. And so over time, that funding source will dwindle. And it is a significant portion of our portfolio for funding. And so at some point, that will continue to decline and will need to be addressed by the council in one form or another. Significant investment in transportation infrastructure is proposed. This funding package that's proposed is a $6 billion package and proposed to remain in place for approximately 10 years. Again, that's all dependent on state action. Analysis has determined that voters support increased funding for transportation. A package would move California more toward a user, all-user pay system. And the funding is to include gas and diesel tax increases, potential changes to the vehicle registration, allocation of some cap-and-trade funds, ensuring that revenues go toward transportation funds and instead of being diverted to other from other purposes, and then user charges on electric vehicles, again, which I mentioned. There are no no revenue being generated from electric vehicles to maintain the roads that they're driving on. The revenue for roadway maintenance is proposed to be shared 50-50 between cities and counties, and I think Dave Molnix will speak to this, but there was a point at which this legislation was discussed and all of the funds were intended to go toward the state. And so there's been some advocacy on the behalf of cities and local jurisdictions to secure some of the funding for cities and counties. Funding to local cities should be provided directly in order to speed up projects. So this would be funds that would come directly to us instead of some kind of a grant mechanism or us requesting the state. It would be an allocation-based system where we would get those funds directly. There would be some accountability mechanisms put in place and some protections for this revenue source. And the accountability mechanisms would require the city to do some potential reporting and be subject to auditing as well. This goes on to talk about some reform mechanisms in this package where there would be some oversight of Caltrans and some requirements for Caltrans to be more transparent and accountable with the way they spend their funds. So that's also a portion of this that staff supports as well. And then some expedited delivery features of this proposal as well. Under the current law, annual gas tax is adjusted by Board of Equalizing, and those are stated on the screen and in your package. With that, I want to conclude the presentation. Again, some of that was prepackaged by the coalition. Here to speak to the item as well is Dave Molinex. He's the regional public affairs manager for the Central Channel Cities League of Cities.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to be here, as always. Excellent presentation on the needs of California roadways, both state and local roads. The numbers that were quoted there came out of a study that was put together by the California Transportation Commission, working with public works directors on the county and city level from all over the state. It took almost a year to put together, and the number they came up with was around minimal of $60 billion just to get our roads back up to like a minimal acceptable level. Now, a month ago, Governor Brown called for an extraordinary session. I think it's pretty evident that there is a need for us to invest in our roadways and our infrastructure. So he called for an extraordinary session on transportation. And in fact, our assembly member Kacho Shajin is a vice chair of that committee. Now, an extraordinary session has a little different rules. They're allowed to go along as long as they can up until actually the end of next year or the end of the session next year. So this could literally go on for another 13 months. Now, the Speaker of the Assembly said she'd like this wrapped up by the end of the session, this session, which is September 11th. Now, the reason this coalition came about also is when the governor called for the extraordinary session and talked about the need for the investment in infrastructure, he did talk, as the director English said, only of state highways. And that's all he said. He made those comments, and then he left the country for a couple of weeks, knowing that both sides on each side of the aisle will come together and haggle out and hash some things out. But he wanted to – his statement was only for state highways. And this governor over the last several years has been getting almost everything he wants. So a coalition of both business and labor groups from all over the state, local government groups, said, you know what, if we are going to put together an infrastructure package, and let me also stress that infrastructure packages don't come along every year. The last one was in 02 with road bonds. We actually worked on that campaign as well to get those passed. And it's been 13 years now since an infrastructure package, a comprehensive package, has come together. The next time we'll come, both sides have proposals up there for the extraordinary session. Both sides have daunting political challenges ahead of it. Republicans have a version, the Democrats have a version, they're very far apart, and both sides are going to have to compromise quite a bit to get to some sort of package that is amenable to both sides. It's not a guarantee that something comes together, but the governor wants something together, and he's going to put some of his political credibility towards this. The Speaker of the House is definitely pushing hard on this as well. And again, it's nice for us to have Assemblymember Shajin is part of that group as well. So what we're trying to do is make sure that as when they're in recess right now, the only real negotiating going up there now is between staffs. They come back on the 17th of this month and for that final push for the end of session. So we just want to make sure that, okay, if you're going to be negotiating, we want to bump the narrative to just state highways. Okay, state highways need some addressing, and so do locals. So we want to make sure the narrative changes from state highways to a split between state and local governments. And that's the main purpose of this particular coalition. Again, it is a coalition of business groups like Orange County Business Council, Bay Area Business Council, Silicon Valley Business Council, California Chamber of Commerce. You have labor groups on board, and we're trying to make sure that locals are heard from, too, because that's what the Speaker of the Assembly said as well. It says, hey, if you guys want to be part of the conversation, we better hear from you. So we better make sure that they hear from us, that if they do get a package together, it needs to be 50% towards locals as well. Again, there is no guarantee anything comes out of this, because as I pointed out earlier, there are significant political challenges with each side's proposals, and there's going to be a lot of hashing out. And unfortunately, when a lot of these things happen, a lot of times the deal is done at the midnight hour, late in the session, and we're going to have to be vigilant on that as well as making sure they understand our needs and our challenges. So I'm going around making sure that we're all aware of it, aware of what we're trying to do, and we would like to get our cities and business groups, local business groups, and other labor groups as well locally to come on board this and make sure we're communicating clearly, coherently to our legislative representatives up there in Sacramento. And I'll be happy to field any questions.
So are there any questions from the council of staff? Okay, start with Barbara.
I'm not sure if this goes to our ability to custom tailor this to what our needs are.
I think I can address some of that. The fact is, we are making sure that this would not go through CTC, this would not go through your COGS, the money would go directly to the locals. The only restraints on this, from what I understand, again, everything's very much in flux up there as well as far as some of the details, is that it's to go to existing roads and not for new capacity. So all the road, and believe me, every city is faced with this. There's plenty of work out there to be done on our existing road infrastructure. So that's really the only limitation if this package gets through the legislature.
And then there was some information related to if this goes through, we get the money, that there may be administrative requirements on behalf of our city staff reporting to the state, also subject to state auditing. Has there been any kind of analysis done related to what those hidden costs would be for our cities to actually be able to participate?
I hate to answer it this way, but as always, the devil is in the details, and those details really haven't got down to that point. Mm-hmm. The accounting part, as far as for local governments, is to make sure that everyone realizes there will be accountability features in this, so it's not just money being out there wasted. Mm-hmm. Some of the accountability features would also be that it would there would be a constitutional amendment on the ballot next year to make sure they could never divert these monies to other purposes, and it would stay strictly towards where the money is supposed to go. And that would be an incredibly easy initiative because the ballot would basically say, do you trust the legislature to do the right thing with this money, or do you want it to go right where it's supposed to be? And I guarantee you it would be an 80% win.
And with all due respect, I think that's what really concerns me, that we need to actually have a layer and bring it to the voters to say, do we trust our legislature to do the right thing, what they are, you know, supposed to do? And I realize that's more of a comment, so I'll back off on that.
Well, that's actually a legitimate comment too. There's several different ways this could go. If it does get passed, if the legislature, and it needs 2/3, so you need every Democrat to vote on to make sure that any of these monies that got these new revenues, they would go directly to roads and nothing else, because the only way you can change a constitutional amendment is doing another constitutional amendment to the voters. And believe me, there would be broad-based support for that type of approach.
And then I guess the other question that I would have, I'll just check my notes really quick. Oh, I actually have two more. So maybe you can explain, because you're kind of on the inside working on our behalf, is that I don't understand why we need, I don't know what to call it, part of this Fix Our Road, you know, the principles and everything that are outlined, why we need to include Caltrans and trying to hold Caltrans accountable about how they spend their money. I guess I'm a little shocked that there's not already measures in place regarding accountability. You know, I believe Caltrans is a state organization. So I guess I'm a little alarmed that there's a consensus that actually has to be built into that. And maybe as a form of a question, why don't we have that type of ability just to say Caltrans?
Sure.
Roads, if state roads are a priority, get it done.
One of the reasons it is in our principles is the legislative analyst had the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, did a report this last year, and they're a nonpartisan kind of watchdog over the budget of California. And what they reported was that there were 3,500 redundant jobs in Caltrans that was costing the state over $500 million a year. So the Republican side of their approach, that is one of their things that they proposed, was reform of Caltrans, which is why we have taken some approach of elements of both the Republican side and some elements of the Democrat side to try to bring together a deal that everybody can live with. There's, you know, some of this package is not going to make people on both sides happy, quite frankly. But that's why that is based in here, to make sure that it is directed to that particular issue, that there are going to be some reforms done at Caltrans. I mean, there have been many reports about some waste and redundancy at Caltrans, and the LAO really clarified it very well in their report. And again, that wasn't a partisan type report. That was the LAO saying, hey, there is some redundancy, and we can have some significant savings by reforming Caltrans.
Thank you. And the last question I have is, can you tell me how many local jurisdictions have already adopted this resolution, whether it's in the Channel Islands District or just locally here?
Now, this particular coalition is several weeks old. So we have...
I did check locally. The city of Santa Maria has this on their agenda for next week.
Okay.
City of Paso Robles approved a similar resolution a few weeks ago. It was targeted at a Senate bill that has many components of this. Others are contemplating whether or not to move forward with this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. English. I appreciate that.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dave, I don't get a chance to sit here in front of you, so I'm going to take that advantage of that and ask a definition question. I just want to start with a real simple definition, and that is, are roads considered public facilities in your mind and in any research that you've done?
I would say they're definitely public investments.
That's not my question.
Public facilities. I'm
You'd find it odd to call roads public facilities, I would guess.
I've never been asked that question, quite frankly.
Well, and now I'm asking. So I'm trying to ask you that because of something that occurred at our last meeting. And since you're dealing with roadways, I'd like to hear, and maybe Jeff can chime in too, whether or not the definition of roadways has ever been considered public facilities. I've never seen him used that way. And I think it's a rather odd definition, but I wanted to ask you if I was right or wrong on that idea.
You know, what I would have to say is I would love to be able to take that to our attorney in Sacramento, because that, quite frankly, I've never been asked that question before, and I've never heard it put semantically that way. I mean, definitely there are investment, public investment, and our responsibility. But I've never heard it be called facilities.
Thank you. Jeff, do you want to chime in on that at all?
Mm-hmm. No. A road is a facility in that it is an infrastructure that we maintain. It is similar to a building. We have to maintain a building. It is an asset. There's depreciation to it. So in that respect, it is.
But I guess my question is, the standard words have meaning. And so my question is, in the standard definition of facilities, we've never used roadways that way. Effect on the overall decision-making process of the legislature?
That's a great question. And I say this to I speak to a lot of different groups on this. You cannot believe how impactful, whether it's letters or phone calls or visits to our legislature, has on the way they vote. There are so many times, I've been in this business now since the early 90s, worked up in Sacramento for over a decade. So many times there can be very important bills, and the chief of staff will say, Dave, we got 4 letters on this. If we had 400 letters or 40 letters, that may make a difference. It's incredibly important when we communicate to them and to make sure we stay vigilant and we stay engaged. It can have an enormous amount of impact. There have been many bills already this session where cities wrote letters and members such as yourself made phone calls and we had meetings with our legislators. It had an enormous impact on their vote.
Great. Thank you for that. Those are my questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Yep. My question is related to the Caltrans reforms, and some of the other proposals from the Republican side had to do with using other state funds, either exclusively or in addition to,
sure,
to taxes. And I didn't see that in here. Is that something that was consciously left out, or
some of it is wedded in there? Like a big part of the Republican proposal was the waiting fees, as far as making sure that those monies, it's almost $1 billion a year, they've been diverted to paying off the transportation bonds. They were never intended to do that. They were intended to go towards transportation infrastructure. So that's one of the things on the Republican side. Another one would be to use cap and trade money. that gets generated from those the cap and trade auctions. Those have so far are been kind of hands off for the governor, and that's going to be an incredible challenge for them to agree to that. Also, some of the one-time fees would be the general fund. We received some surplus monies because the economy has picked up somewhat, and it the revenues exceeded what the projections were. So there are some surplus budget monies. Their proposal was to use some of the general fund money on a one-time basis and maybe to find a way to use some general fund money on an ongoing basis. The challenge with the Republican proposal, it generated $6 billion for 1 year. We need more than that to address the challenges of fixing and bringing our infrastructure to where it needs to be. So, again, both sides are very far apart. And it's not, again, let me stress, it's not a done deal in any way, shape, or form. And it's going to require some real leadership up there in Sacramento and statesmanship and some compromise. And unfortunately, this isn't really the era of compromise, but it's going to take some compromise on both sides to bring together a package like this.
And I'm going to ask, maybe this is a staff or of you, is this a standard resolution put together by the league, or is this something we wrote?
Yeah, and we just want to make sure that if they do come together on a package, let's make sure we get our share.
And so if we change a couple of
absolutely.
Okay, just wanted to check.
Absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to, I guess, clarify the big picture on the item. So the big picture, as I see it, is that obviously the city and counties and local jurisdictions have major road maintenance issues. And again, this is not about constructing new roads. It's about maintaining the roads that we already have, some of which are in acceptable condition, and they go down to deplorable condition. So at issue is that at the state level, the governor has proposed a major funding for state highway repairs.
That's correct.
And there, for whatever reason, may have been oversight or it may have been intentional, there was no mention of local roads repairs being in that.
In the governor's proposal.
In the governor's proposal to be considered by the legislature. So what we're proposing to do is advise the legislature that should they pass this funding measure, that we would request that because our drivers pay gas taxes here and use the local roads, that measure should include 50-50 funding for not only state highways but also local roads.
That's correct.
So that's the essence of the discussion is
that's
kind
correct.
Of as I see it. Okay. Thank you for the clarification on that then. Okay. With that, is there a public comment on this item? Andrea.
Well, I really appreciate getting that report, and need I say I'm going to go home and Google and find out more about this. Yes, our roads in the county throughout the state are in deplorable condition, and we need dollars. But I did, I guess I've been around so long that I kind of chuckle, and I don't mean this, you know, when I see sustainable funding. Did you notice there's words now, sustainable and smart? I guess we didn't put smart funding, but sustainable funding. Years ago it was revenue enhancement. I don't know if we use that anymore. But anyway, you know, I do know there's a lot going on with Caltrans. Been to the Board of Supervisors hearing their report, and they want vehicle, especially for a sales tax increase. And it was amazing to find out that the people in the county that were surveyed would be willing to pay additional dollars for roads, infrastructure. However, there was one caveat. They aren't sure the monies will go where they say they're going to go. And I think we've heard this at the national level, you know, the trust, the frustration of people. People say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and you know, now we're going to go down to the pothole. The pothole's never filled. People are frustrated that when they pass bonds like they have in the past, Proposition 30, I don't know if the children in the classroom ever got those dollars or the teachers got the dollars. We pass water bonds. Which will this produce water for us or just more bureaucracies and studies? And I think that this is the concern that I'm expressing. I am here to say these gentlemen are right. You know you're right, that you need more dollars for your infrastructure. But what is the mechanism? And I will just use, I really would call on you to ask for that gentleman to come and report on that survey. He said at this time, I would not do a sales tax increase. The people, I guess there was a discussion then whether they're educated or not, and some of the members said, well, I think they're telling us something. We don't have to educate them. But you might want to hear that report. And lastly, today at the Board of Supervisors, here's the idea about where the dollars are going. So there was the Willow exchange here, and I guess within that exchange and the dollars and so on that were spent, there was mitigation for oaks. Now, we're all for oak trees. However, they needed additional dollars today to finish that project of mitigation. And I guess they're going to plant 3,000 acorns in a drought, and we don't know if they'll survive. So that was the discussion, and I want to tell you, total, it's over $1 million to plant 3,000 acorns in a drought. This is where Caltrans, this is where people say, where are my dollars going? Whether it's at the pump or where, you know, DMV things and so on. And this was 11% of the project itself. Now, when you think of the projects throughout the state of California for infrastructure, you wonder what Caltrans is doing on some of these mitigation situations. If they're doing these type of things where 11% of that project is going to take care of the acorns. I've talked to some of the people in the South County here, and they said, my gosh, I got weeds growing here, the oaks are growing. But this is the type of thing where people are frustrated. So all I would just say is be careful, you know, how you get involved in something, and demand, and I'm going to use that word, and you're right, when these gentlemen are right, you need to talk to your legislators and get angry. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here sometimes on some of these issues and speak out and say, we want accountability, we want our dollars going for infrastructure, it's needed. So those are my two cents, but I just have to come forward and say something about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a comment on this item?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Roy Grande. I'd like to echo a lot of Andrea's previous comments. I have started out with one oak tree in my backyard and have to literally go out and pull out oak trees because I can't see through the oak trees if I don't delete them. I don't plant them. It doesn't cost me $1 million, and yet I have more oak trees than I can handle in my property. So I'm completely blown away by that. But I want to go back down to the pothole. And I want to speak to a couple things that I've noticed here over the years. And when Mr. English put up the slide about what we spend in Arroyo Grande fixing our streets, I have three, I travel in a small circle around town, I guess, three major complaints or concerns. Number one, a couple years ago, we striped Elm Street. And we restriped Elm Street, and we restriped Elm Street again, and then maybe another time after that just for good measure. I drove down Elm Street, and literally the white stripe was blowing, flapping in the wind like a piece, someone had just laid a piece of ribbon down. And my concern when we have so few dollars is how we go so wrong in either designing the striping or engineering the striping on the street that we have to do and redo with so little funds that we can barely afford to do it the first time, and yet we redo things numerous times over because we just can't get it right. The second one that comes to mind is Rancho Parkway, and this all predates, of course, this council, but it's still on my mind fresh because I drove through Rancho Parkway. I go through there numerous times, and sometimes the striping was changed from the morning to the evening. And then I would go back the next day, and it was striped in another manner. And it was very confusing. I'm not sure how we came up with so many different alternatives to striping Rancho Parkway between West Branch and Camino Mercado. But for several weeks, it was quite interesting getting through there with the striping being different literally on a daily basis, it seemed. The third thing that I have an issue with is something that just happened on my street not too long ago, and this is something that goes back several years, but I don't think the problem has necessarily been resolved. We had some large divots in our street where pipes, the road had been cut. There'd obviously been some issue underneath, and we had dips in my street that were probably 10 to 11 inches deep. It was like the reverse of a speed bump. When I spoke with Mr. English about it, he was very nice to get us on the calendar. They came out. I thought we were just going to fill, put some whatever, asphalt in the street, and it turned into more than a week-long project because something hadn't been done correctly years back. And again, I go to the design and the engineering of these projects needs to be thought out more carefully before we even commit the few resources that we have to these things. So our street paving money could go a lot further if we just do something right the first time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item? Okay. Did you want to comment about paint waving in the tree?
Perhaps I can, and I apologize actually to all the residents of Arroyo Grande who have to deal with some frustration of striping. When you pave a road, you have to wait for that road to cure generally 10 days before you can permanently stripe it. So the part of our specifications with the contractor is to put in temporary striping. And that temporary striping is sometimes a tape. It's a type of white tape that is applied that can be easily pulled off. And instead of them coming in and just do temporary painting and then having to come back and paint over the top of it, they'll use this temporary white striping. When it comes up, we require them to go back and stripe it again. And there sometimes can be two or three stages of that striping. They have to put, and if you go out to Fair Oaks right now, you will see this progression. They put in what are called temporary tabs, and they're little white tabs that stick up above the pavement that delineate the travel lane for folks or motorists. Then they'll come back later on again and put in this temporary striping so that it's a little more permanent. And then 10 days later, they'll come back and do a permanent restriping. That's after the asphalt has cured. If you put the painting down too soon, it will either suck in or it won't take at all. So there is that curing period that's necessary. So apologize to folks in our town for that transition. Looks like we're doing things two and three times, but there's a reason for that, and it's for the long-term benefit of that striping. So hopefully
the temporary is put in obviously for safety of the motoring public and the pedestrians and bicycles that are on the road during that time while the cure is happening, and so it's kind of a necessary part of the process.
Correct.
Okay, any other public comment on this item? All right, hearing none. Discussion from council. Start with Council Member Guthrie.
Well, I think, I'll start out. First, I'll just in case I forget, it is actually a very interesting survey that came through at SLOCOG, and I will see that each of you get a copy of the report from SLOCOG on that survey. I will say one of the striking numbers to me was that 71% of those surveyed said that they were willing to be taxed. That was the striking number. It was actually, I think, less than 50% were willing to be taxed for roads, which was an interesting. So what did they? What probably water at this point, but that wasn't asked in their survey. So the trust of government was right around the same number, and you'll be able to see those in the survey. But it was an interesting survey. I will say it's bent a little bit by the fact that it had to be done online, which sort of skews it in a certain direction. I'll make sure that each of you get a copy of that through the city clerk. So in this, I do think it's as noted. This is a one-time deal. I should say one-time deal, but it's a once-in-a-century deal, and we definitely do not want to get dealt out of it. And we could easily. The state has not been good to cities. I certainly share the concern that even in a good deal, somehow it turns out to be a bad deal. I'm trying to remember the famous prop that we got 75% vote on, and it just seems, frankly, today like it's almost worthless. But because the state continues to find just a different way of taking municipal funds. So I do share that concern. On the other hand, if we don't do something now, we're likely to get dealt out of this completely. So I think that the direction I think I'd like to see is, because I do think that the concern that this is just all about taxes is a legitimate one, that we should actually be asking the state to put up some other money. And the vehicle funds, I'd forgotten that was in there. But I think we might want to take a little more bold approach and just, we're using 50-50 split. Maybe we would use language that says we'd like to see a 50-50 split between new taxes and transferring of others of other state funds, of finding other funding within their own budget. Because clearly over the years, the state has been sucking money out of all of these, I'll call them enterprise funds, for lack of a better word. I'm sure that there's something more accurate. And using them for just in using them into their general fund, so I think that's one change that I think would make this more palatable. Not that I think we're going to have a lot of impact. I think it's probably true nothing's going to happen here, but we do want our 10 cents worth in, because sometime maybe next year it will, and we can set the direction in which it may go. The other deal has to do with the Constitution, or the what would be a constitutional change, in order to ensure that whatever funding gets directed here or gets generated stays permanent. I actually did not see that in the resolution. I saw it in the general direction. So it's somewhere in the resolution. I would like to see something like that added as well. But yeah, I just don't see how we cannot jump in here and say, if you're going to do a deal, make sure we're included and make sure these things are done as well. This is one thing where, yeah, ultimately the people may get to vote on it, but they may not. And so this is one thing where I think we really do have to stand up and represent our constituency. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Councilmember Hyman.
Thank you. A couple of things. Mr. English, thank you for the excellent report, and also drilling down exactly how the $794,000 would be could be used in our city. I think that was really important, not only for us to hear, but for our citizens. And the other thing is, I appreciate that the Cal League of Cities is doing yeoman's work on trying to get something forward and recognizing the needs of the state, looking out for the local roads. I very much appreciate that. I appreciate that involved or enfolded in here is the issue related to Caltrans and monitoring how they go about spending or not spending their money, even though I still find it alarming that we need that. We're at that stage now in our state where that's something that's being recommended. I also really appreciate what the $794,000 could mean to our city. But I just still have a really hard time. It seems very nebulous. It seems, although I appreciate what Mr. Guthrie is indicating about this is our one shot to give support to it, but there's no guarantee on how what we have before us tonight will be changed. I think I would really prefer that the league pressure the state to act fiscally responsible and take a conservative approach to their budget expenditures. Perhaps having each department spend, take a look at what their funding is and cut 5 to 10% of their budgets and appropriate towards road and infrastructure priorities. Our city department heads did just that during our budget process and made hard choices regarding priorities. They relinquished certain items for the greater good of the whole, just as families need to prioritize their household budgets. Here's some additional information that I find concerning. According to the State of California Department of Transportation Division of Budgets 24-2015 fiscal year estimates, the state brings in at least $10.6 billion with a B in taxes and fees dedicated to transportation purposes. One questions how there can be $7.8 billion in deferred road maintenance given this amount of revenue. Also, and I really don't mean to imply that this is a bash Caltrans night. We very much depend on them, and we have a good working relationship with them. But I just again, am troubled by the fact that Caltrans spends just 20% of that $10.6 billion in revenue on state road repair and new construction. And for example, last year, Caltrans spent $1.2 billion in state road maintenance and repair and $850 million in new construction. And these amounts, similar amounts, are planned for the 2015-2016 state budget. So to me, it would seem more prudent for the league to question why only 20% of these dedicated fees are being spent on state road repair, given the governor's proclamation. It is also disturbing that the Fix Our Roads Coalition does not include funding for the State Transportation Improvement Program, which is a program our city has received $6.6 million to fund the Briscoe Interchange Project. Wait, there's more. And I do have to refer to my notes, especially on things like this that are pretty complex and also have a very could have a impact to our city as a whole. And then I also wanted to drill in on the principles. Principles number 3 and 4 are outlined on page 2 of the staff report, but I believe in the resolution they're actually item 4 and item 5 of the ACSR resolution, and that would be page 6 and 7 of our staff report. Principle number 3 requires other entities besides the state to fund transit, which I believe really is a state responsibility. Now the proposal is to dip further into the diesel tax and or cap and trade revenue, for which the governor has already tapped, to help fund the high-speed rail project. Principle number 4 is most disturbing to me. It kind of goes back to my comments in our earlier item. I really believe that would have a direct impact, and principle number 4 has to do with using a variety of resources, raise revenues across a broad range of options. By doing that, I think it will have a direct impact on our consumer goods and tourism. Raising revenues, which to me is a code word for raising taxes, from diesel and DMV licensing would cause a huge impact on commerce, raise prices, lead to less consumer spending, and less disposable income. DMV licensing and registration increases, which are a detriment to new car sales, had a huge impact on county revenues when increases were previously administered in the 1990s, and those increases were also for state earmarked for state funding. And not to mention, California, our gas tax is the fourth highest in the nation already. I appreciate that we have done such a good job in mandating hybrids and 50 mile per hour per gas cars and hybrids and electrics, but this is again a consequence of those policies that we're now asked to again go to the well and offset. So I appreciate the time allowed for me to make what I feel is a very important statement. I'm concerned that this resolution moves forward, that it will be us, the taxpayers, the business owners and consumers, and our local economy that will suffer. I really would like the state to take a look at how they could better manage their money before always going back to our local municipalities and, more important, our taxpayers to bail them out for mismanagement. Thank you.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Ms. Harmon, please don't hold back. I want to kind of simplify this for just a minute. We're sitting here getting awfully passionate about what our philosophical issues are. And the reality is, as Dave said, we have a negotiating process that's still very much in the early stages, and we have two parties that are very, very far apart. What we're really doing here is giving a general direction to the state government that we want local municipalities to be considered. To get beyond that and say, to drill down into very tight specifics is a waste of time and energy. There will become a time when we should speak up on those issues, but we're not there yet. I agree with Councilman Guthrie's discussion that we should do a measured approach, because nothing in state government goes quickly. You have to try to move them by the inch. And what that means is maybe you start posing questions to them like, well, maybe you should find some of this money from other sources that you've been taking from for all these years. So I agree with Councilman Guthrie on that issue. And I'd be willing to support a resolution that he might bring forward as modified. Again, this is something we're going to have another bite at. And could Caltrans do something differently? Should they be doing something differently? Absolutely. But tonight's really about a general direction we're trying to get the state government to go, and that is away from just determining state highways and also consider local municipalities. So we should keep the broader picture in mind when we're talking about this and not get too worked up, I think. I appreciate, Dave, that I could put you on the spot about my question about definitions. It's refreshing when we can bring an outside set of eyeballs and a thought process into an issue. And I brought it up for a very specific purpose. And I'm glad that, Jeff, you answered the question the way that you did during council communications later. I have a very pointed reason as to why I asked that question. But hearing it, so I didn't think it was just rolling around inside my head, that someone else pretty much agreed with me as well, was good to hear. And so I appreciate that. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I'd be willing to support a resolution at this time, basically along the lines that Mr. Guthrie has outlined.
Okay, I'm also generally in favor of this idea, which is to encourage the state to share 50-50 between state highways. Looking out the front door here, I see a state highway in front of us, so I'm certainly not adverse to spending money to properly maintain state highways, but I think that's only a part of the importance of maintaining existing roadways, and the rest of the package that goes with maintaining existing roadways from funds that have been collected ostensibly for that purpose is to provide proper maintenance for local, county, and city roads. So I am prepared to support the item. I again note that this item is not for new construction, such as like Briscoe Interchange construction or something like that. Rather, it's for maintenance of the existing road infrastructure. So the measure does ask to provide new funding. I'm sympathetic to Councilmember Harmon's discussion, wherein we just saw the city departments compromise on a number of issues to make sure that we can balance a budget and fund our critical needs. I would urge the state, of course, to do the same, to figure out where they can cut budgets to fix roads, which has certainly come to the point of being a critical need in the state, in my judgment. So, but I think the urgency here, we don't know what the final amount of money is. We don't know how many years it's going to be. That's all going to be discussed in the legislature. But hopefully, if we can help with a resolution this evening, that local roads, county roads, and city roads will be able to be funded as well as just state highways. So that is kind of my thoughts on the subject.
Well, with that, I'll try a proposal here, and I'm going to preface it with saying that for the purpose of discussion, because I do want us to be able to have that discussion, and maybe if there's things in it that people have a problem with, they'll have the opportunity to.
Mr. Guthrie, I have a hard copy of that. Would that be helpful for you in your resolution? I have a hard copy of the.
I'm actually, my proposal is going to be pretty simple. I'm not going to try to wordsmith it.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, just the two changes I'm proposing were exactly what I said, that we would add where it's appropriate, that we would request the legislature in this special session, whatever proposal comes out, that it would be a 50-50 between new taxes or new revenues, whatever they may be, and redirecting existing state funds that are not currently spent on infrastructure, And the second part of that would be, and it's possible this is in here, but specifically that any new revenues or all of the revenues that are assigned here would be packaged into a state amendment that would ensure that they would stay through the lifetime of whatever this package is, that they would stay spent exactly as they were proposed. So those are the two changes to it.
I'll second that for the purposes of discussion.
So under discussion, I just wanted to touch on two points. One, I want to go to the $6.6 million that we have for Briscoe Road. Actually, we don't have it. Because this gas tax did not come through as expected, not that it was spent somewhere else, not that we've been bumped by some other project, they just flat out didn't collect as much money as they thought, as much money as they've collected in the past, there's no money available for any projects this year. And we'll be competing next year when hopefully there will be, but there may not be. Depends on whether these... And the reason I tie those two together is in this particular case, not all cases, but in this particular case, this is not an increase in taxes. It's a replacement of taxes that have gone down due to, as you noted, as you know, in some higher mileage cars and actually people driving less as well. So it really is trying to get it may very well go past what we got in the past, but at this point it's actually we're collecting less taxes than we've collected in the past, very similar to what happened when we saw property taxes crash in 2008 and we were affected by those. That wasn't a tax increase that we needed. We actually just needed to get back to where we were. The other thing I want to comment was accountability here. And I want to respectfully suggest that trying to do accountability by saying everybody needs to save money or families save money, know how to do this, when you're dealing with government, and particularly dealing with the state government, I'm sure dealing with the federal government in probably people who look at us with the same frustration, you have to be very specific in what you're going to hold them accountable for. And I do think that's the effort here, is that there will be certainly much more accountability than we have, and that we will be able to hopefully freeze these funds. I'm not totally confident that we'll pull that off. It just hasn't seemed to work in the past. If we freeze these funds, it'll be some other funds. But we still have to make an effort because we clearly need... We do need the money spent on infrastructure here, or we're going to be in a big, big trouble in 10 years. So with those comments, I'll the mayor's permission, I'll pass it off.
Okay. Councilmember Harmon, comment.
I don't have any further comments, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Brown.
First of all, I want to say I appreciate Mr. Guthrie's vote for discussion, because we don't have enough interaction, I think, among council members before we deliberate, and it makes for weaker decisions. So I appreciate that. I believe that everybody from the federal government down has finally come to the conclusion that we've been putting off deferred maintenance for our roads and infrastructure for a long time, and now it's time to pay the piper. The difficulty is going to be, I think, in my view, is what are we going to lose while we do that? Because we're going to lose something. But I do have a certain amount of faith that people have finally realized that we've deferred this issue for way too long, and we're now going to do something about it and be serious about it. I was a little discouraged to hear your comments about the lack of funding, because that sounds like Briscoe's off for another year at this point. But
minimum.
At a minimum, yeah. So. With that, though, I would continue to support Mr. Guthrie's motion, knowing that full well there's going to be more to this discussion as time goes on. Thank you.
I also support Councilmember Guthrie's motion. The idea of 50-50 new revenue vice redirected revenue, I think, is a good one. I'm not sure where the funds would be redirected from, but I'm confident that there are areas that the state has that funds could be redirected. And holding, hopefully, the state accountable for their part of the funding to be used for the purposes that it was appropriated. At the city level, should there be revenues come to the city for road maintenance, For my part, I would pledge to support using that money strictly for the purpose intended, which is maintenance of our existing roads. So I'm willing to make that commitment as a member of the City Council for my vote on using that funding, should it come to pass, for the specific purpose intended, again, which is maintaining our local roads. So with that comment, I'm prepared to support the motion.
So, may we have a roll call, please? Well, do you guys think you can handle the language, or is this something we're going to ask to be brought back?
I think we could put together the part about the constitutional amendment to make sure that the funds aren't used for other purposes. There's actually, on page 10 of the packet, there's some language we could pull from there that I could read if you'd like. I'm a little less comfortable with the 50-50 new revenue and redirected revenue. Not uncomfortable with the concept, but I'm not sure where. Was there some place in the resolution that you thought that was appropriate? I see number 3 of the.
I was thinking like a 3.5, although I wasn't thinking anything a paragraph long, but. Maybe like 3.5, this is equal split between existing state revenues and new revenues. Would be the bold part.
Are you talking about the resolution?
Resolution, I'm reading from page 3 of the resolution, number 3. The final, it says, now therefore be it resolved, and then you turn to the next page and you have 1, 2, 3, 4 and then 5, 6, 7 on the next page.
Right.
Number 3 on that page.
Right.
Just repeating at least the intent of that there, which is that.
Well, let's go ahead and do it. So we would maybe just add another paragraph to that number 3.
Yeah, 3.5, which would say equal split between existing state revenues.
So we support. I'm just trying to give it a full sentence like the rest of these. It starts with, we support an equal.
Oh, is that because we're going all the way back to now, be it therefore resolved? I'm not seeing the we support part.
No, she's making
She's recommending language.
I'm recommending we support an equal split.
An equal split between existing state revenues. Between existing state revenues and new revenue sources.
We support an equal split between existing state revenues and new revenue sources to be used for roads.
To be identified for use in this infrastructure package. Instead of identified, directed.
Okay. And then do you want to work on the other one would be to number 6. We could add on to number 6, I think, 2 sentences. One that would say, constitutionally protect transportation revenues for transportation infrastructure only, include protections that prohibit using transportation dollars for other purposes.
Yeah, perfect.
And that would be repair of infrastructure, rather, which I understand is the purpose of this rather than new.
Right, I think it's somewhere else in here.
Yeah, I think that's already spelled out. If anybody needs either of those read again, I'd be happy to.
I'm ready. Otherwise, for a roll call.
If that's part of the motion and the second, we can do a roll call.
It is.
In that case, we'll move to a roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
No.
Mayor Hill?
Yes. Matter passes 3-1 with 1 absent. Moving then to council communications. Communications start with Councilmember Guthrie.
And I don't know, this may be directed at Councilman Harmer, or maybe to our staff, but there was a lot before the 4th of July. We had a lot of concern expressed about fireworks, and after the 4th of July, a lot of concern expressed about excessive illegal fireworks. And I'm wondering, it seems like it's natural for the Five Cities Fire Authority to look into this, because it doesn't make sense if we don't get all three communities doing the same thing. So maybe that's where this needs to start. But I do think if we want to even consider that, we need to start now, because we certainly don't want to be reconsidering it in June or something. So I you may already be working on it, but I would like to see something done on that we would start on that fairly soon.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, it's my understanding that Chief Lieberman is working on a report to that to address those very issues. How we move that forward to bring it forward to this council, I don't believe it's set for agenda for the Five Cities Fire Authority's next meeting on August 19th. It's my understanding that he wanted to bring it to council and the other councils. To report out just exactly what we discussed previously, and also the aftermath of the tremendous amount of illegal fireworks that went on this year at the 4th of July, Oceano, Grover Beach, bombs bursting in air.
Not Aurora Grande?
And of course not in Aurora Grande, absolutely not. So I know that he's gathering that information. So whatever nexus we need to have that brought before council, then I'm sure he would be ready to do that. I just know I don't believe it's set for agenda for the 19th.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mary Hill. I just want to mention that we tentatively have this item by the fire district on the agenda for August 25th for a presentation.
Thank you very
Presto.
Much. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you very much. First thing, Diane, I don't know if you're probably a little bit behind on this one, so I apologize for putting you on the spot, but I do want to have a discussion at some point about the different JPAs that we're involved with. We have a number of unwritten kind of agreements that have gone on in the past that are now coming back to bite us, and so I think we need to relook at structures and how they're done, because that's creating some havoc that shouldn't be happening, both with the fire authority and with the sanitation district. So that's my first concern. Now I want to go to the issue of why I raised the issue of definitions during the last presentation. We had an item at the last council meeting regarding mitigation of prime farm soils. At the last minute, we ended up with some information on the dais that was written by staff, but apparently brought forward by the applicant, that roads should be considered public facilities, and therefore, per our general plan, which said we don't have to mitigate land that we use for public facilities, that roads should be subtracted out of any mitigation. That was clearly a misuse of the language in the general plan regarding public facilities, and this council erred in adopting that and using that. And staff erred, I believe, in saying or bringing forward that they thought that might be their opinion. There was no discussion that this is one avenue, but we need to have an actual discussion about whether or not this is an appropriate definition of public facilities, and it clearly is not. I was there when we did the general plan, and public facilities meant buildings. It meant the same traditional use that it's always been used. And to use it to say that roads are public facilities is a stretch to be diplomatic and is disingenuous to be less than diplomatic. So I would like to hear, Diane, that you have a discussion with staff on this issue, because this was our first mitigation out of the box since our general plan amendment, which is kind of amazing, but it is. And so it just purely was done incorrectly, and so I would like some internal discussion with staff about how that was handled, and just the idea of a definition going forward, because I don't think that was ever the intent of the language in the general plan.
I can definitely follow up with staff and provide some follow-up information to council.
Thank you. Those are my comments, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Harmon.
I have nothing tonight. Thank you.
Okay, on the subject of fireworks, I note that fireworks, of course, are a major source of funding for many of the nonprofit groups in the area. And hopefully, if we're going to make a change to fireworks availability, which may well be advised, that we do it again with as soon as possible, so that any affected nonprofit agencies who count on traditionally fireworks sales for major portions of their revenue can redirect their fundraising efforts in a different direction and are given plenty of time up front to do that. I note a couple of things. There's a special meeting of the Sanitation District tentatively scheduled here Thursday night at 3:45. We have a water symposium scheduled at the Regional Center, which will be Thursday night, scheduled from 5 to 8 p.m. The number of local jurisdictions are sponsoring the water symposium. There's no charge for admission. Everyone is welcome to attend. There will be refreshments available, hot dogs and so forth, provided, I believe, by the Lions Club. And there will be a charge for that of $5 for a hot dog, chips, and soda, courtesy of the Lions Club, because the event is running from 5 to 8 p.m. And that's at 800 West Branch Street at the County Regional Center, right next door to the library and the Chamber of Commerce. So again, August 13th, this coming Thursday. There's no general admission charge for that water symposium. Last it was mentioned earlier, and I want to reiterate the thanks that one of the speakers delivered to the Five Cities Men's Club, who've done an outstanding job helping the city with the Paulding Mall refurbishment. Outstanding job, very deeply appreciated by the council here, by myself, by the city staff. The Five Cities Men's Club continues, as many of our service organizations do, to provide great service to the city and to our residents. And we thank them very much for all of the people, all of the donations that went into it, all of the hard work by the members of the Five Cities Men's Club. Your efforts are very deeply appreciated, and we thank you. Staff communications.
Just a couple items. First of all, I'd like to thank the council, the staff, and the community for such a warm welcome to me. Arroyo Grande is certainly a beautiful city, and I feel very fortunate to be here, and I'm honored to be your city manager. Business item. I wanted to update you on our water conservation efforts. Last month, the city achieved a 41% reduction in water use as compared to July of last year. That's amazing. That really is a huge accomplishment. Doesn't mean we should stop our conservation efforts, but it really is an accomplishment. As reported by the State Water Resources Control Board on Monday, our total production was 187.3 acre feet last month as compared to 318.9 acre feet in July of 2014, giving us that 41% reduction. Our state mandated water conservation target percentage is 28%, so we exceeded our reduction requirement last month by quite a bit, 13.5 million gallons. It's an amazing commentary or indication of what our customers have been able to conserve, and it's also a testimony to the effectiveness of the water conservation programs here in Arroyo Grande and the staff teamwork, which is our drought team. And I'd really like to recognize the staff involved in our water conservation efforts, and that team includes Public Works Director Jeff English, Utilities Supervisor Shane Taylor, Community Development Director Teresa McClish, Admin Services Director Debbie Malicote, Accounting Manager Ryan Cornell, Water Service Worker Tim Schmidt,
and Associate Planner Kelly Heffernan. These employees are really to be applauded for their efforts in working to put together effective programs on behalf of the citizens. That concludes my comments on staff communication. I'm happy to answer any questions. Don't ask me hard questions. I've only been here a week.
I had six planned. Darn. Okay.
Thank you and welcome, Diane. We're delighted to have you in the official chair here tonight. We had an opportunity for members of the public to come meet Diane, and I would extend that invitation on. So we're delighted to have you here. And also congratulations to all of our residents who have contributed to the water savings. We thank you all for that. This is going to be about changing habits fundamentally, not just trying to meet the goal for a month, but eventually this particular drought will end. We'll get more rain. The reservoirs will fill up again and so forth. But what's going to be necessary for us to do is change habits so when the reservoirs are full, we don't just run the water down the street and waste it, but we actually adopt conservation measures such that when the next drought comes along, as it inevitably will, that we have a better resource established during the good times of rain and the end of the drought. So we very much appreciate the public effort and the effort to make those habits permanent. So thank you to all. This evening, I understand we don't have a closed session because we have already addressed that issue. And is there any further direction to staff that's necessary on that? Okay, so we will not be having a closed session tonight. And
any more community comments and suggestions for this evening?
Is there closing public comment? Any item not on the agenda this evening? Hearing none, I guess we're ready to adjourn. Potentially with labor negotiation, and we addressed that 2 weeks ago.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Okay, it's been moved to adjourn. We are adjourned.